Good evening, good morning, wherever you may be, around the globe, in the chat room, on another planet, or on the other side. This is Late Night in the Midlands. I'm Michael Vera, and this broadcast is coming at you live from the capital city, Columbia, South Carolina, located on the east coast of these United States. Tonight, I've got guest Lauren F. Day will be joining us. His book, America's War on God. We'll be talking about that a little bit tonight. And I'm looking forward to getting into the conversation. I don't know. I have some questions. There's a little bit of part of me that, you know, I'm going to be challenging at some point. Because, I don't know, I think we need to get to the answers. And the only way to do that is to ask the right questions. So I'm going to try to do that tonight. And the call-in number. We'll take calls later. As a matter of fact, I hope people will call in. Give your opinions. Whether you're in support of these ideas or not, all right, 803-392-4566. Skype ID is LNM Radio, and you could get us on our Arizona line as well, 480-409-0697. Now, these numbers are listed on the website, except the Arizona number may not be listed on the website yet. But I'll give it out periodically. The easiest way is really Skype. I mean, who's not using Skype these days, I guess? I guess a few of you, right? All right, so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. America's war on God. Do you think that there's been a war on God in the United States? I guess you can't deny that, in a sense. But I don't know. What are we talking about here? We'll get into that in just a little bit. I've got some news that I want to get into, so I thought we'd get right into that. But first, the website, www.latenightinthemidlands.com. Go on over, become a member, be informed, and by all means, inform others. And let me just say this before we get things started here tonight. For any new listeners, I'm not anti-God. Okay, I'm not one that says, no, there's no such thing as God. I do believe that there's a God. Absolutely. I also think there's these other gods, too. We'll talk about that later. All right, so Mars colonists to undergo 5 days of test. The 100 candidates on the short list to establish a human colony on the planet Mars are to undergo test as part of a new phase of the selection process. The project organizers said on Monday around 200,000 hopefuls from 140 countries initially signed up for the Mars One project, which is to be partly funded by a television reality show about the endeavor. Now, this has been whittled down now to 100 people. After the 5-day third phase of tests, it will be trimmed further to 40, of whom 24 will eventually be chosen for the one-way trips, it says trips, to the Red Planet, scheduled to start in 2026. Now, my oldest son, he signed up for this, you know, and I told him he was an idiot then when he said he did, but apparently he's not going to be one of the finalists. Thankfully. I mean, although if he did get, but I think they get up there and they see anything out of the ordinary, you know, they're not going to let them transmit back to us and tell us. And this whole reality show thing, I don't know. I almost feel like, beware, Hollywood could get involved in this one. All right, so listen to the eerie space music, it says, echoing across the Milky Way from the oldest stars in our galaxy. Astrophysicists have captured the sounds of some of the oldest stars in the Milky Way, shedding new light on the history, they say, of our galaxy. And guess what? I just so happen to have those sounds right here for you. So take a listen. These are distant stars, the most distant stars in our galaxy. Thank you. So those are the most distant stars. They say those are the sounds that they're getting back from these most distant stars. I wonder if a star, I don't know, a brown dwarf star happened to be coming our way, or some planets or something. I wonder what kind of noise they'd make. And I wonder if it would sound like a bunch of Vikings headed for, you know, a town or something. I don't know. I'm curious as to what it would sound like. But there you go. It kind of has that Star Trek, that old 70s Star Trek TV kind of sound to it. Kind of wonder what they knew back then. So anyhow, all this is going to be, I was going to say is linked up, but it's really not. Most of this will be linked up after the show because I just didn't have time to get it up. You know what happened to me today? I got to tell you. I'm getting ready for my guest, and I get a whole bunch of stuff done. My computer decides it wants to restart on me, and it's going to do it whether I accept or not. And so it did it, and of course it didn't save a lot of my work. So I got ready for tonight twice. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm so ready it's not funny. All right, so did parrot repeat dead man's final words? A Michigan man's wife is now a suspect in his May 2015 murder. Newly obtained police reports show, and a winged witness may have heard the dead man's final plea. An African gray parrot might have overheard Martin Durham as he pleaded with his shooter before the killer pumped 5 bullets into Durham's body. The bird Bud was heard saying, "Don't effing shoot me," in a video taken shortly after Durham's death. This was reported. All right. So, and the police are saying now that there is more, well, not the police, but the county prosecutor is saying there's more evidence to support the theory that the wife killed him, and that the bird, you know, the bird's telling on her. Not only saying what he said, but giving them a name and everything. And, you know, of course, they're saying, well, the bird repeats everything it hears. Yeah, okay, but the bird is saying, don't effing shoot. Don't effing shoot, Glenna. I don't know. A parrot society, this parrot's getting some people in some thick stuff. All right, judge law firm bringing Trump U case. Both tied to La Raza. This comes out of New York. The federal judge presiding over the Trump University class action lawsuit is a member of the San Diego La Raza Lawyers Association, a group that, while not a branch of the National Council of La Raza, has ties to the controversial organization, which translates literally the race. U.S. District Judge Gonzalo, who has been criticized by Donald Trump as a hater, appointed by President Obama, who should be really taken off the case, listed his membership in the La Raza Lawyers of San Diego on a questionnaire he filled out when he was selected to be a federal judge. WND had reported the San Diego firm paid $675,000 to the Clintons for speeches. So do you see the ties? And so, of course, the fake mainstream media, they try to make, you know, they've been on this for days now. Oh, Trump, racist, racist, Trump, racist, racist, you know. But then it comes out once again that, you know, there's some merit to what he's saying. Once again. So the Clintons, Obama tied to this judge. This judge has Mexican heritage, and of course, he's going to fill the agenda of the criminals, Obama and Clinton. So naturally, they're going to do what they can to try to make things rough for Trump because they don't want him in there, right? So once again, the truth comes out, and it's again, the truth is on Trump's side, in my opinion. I mean, there's the evidence. I mean, what else needs to be said? So anyways, that's another one we'll have linked up. You could find it. I mean, my God, it's everywhere. Except for the mainstream media, they won't tell you about it. The secret to avoiding a heart attack, this says. I was interested, obviously. I said, oh, well, let me see. Going to sleep at the same time each night, it says. Stable sleeping patterns help the heart filter out stress hormones. Okay? So if you go to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, day after day, I mean, and you're, I mean, long as you're getting that amount of sleep, I would imagine that's okay, right? They say people who don't get enough sleep or stay up too late have a raised pulse. What do you mean stay up too late? What's too late? Like for me, I'm a night owl. I do everything at night. And during the day, you know, I mean, for me, I could sleep the whole day away. It wouldn't matter to me, except for I can't because I got work to do. But, you know, I enjoy the night more. So does that put me at a higher risk? They say lack of sleep also raises risk of obesity, diabetes, and cancer. I have news for you. Diet soda puts you at higher risk of diabetes and cancer, too. So if we're going to talk about that. We should talk about everything. News just came in. Clinton was, I think she got the nomination there. I think is what it was telling me. It came and went really quick. All right, so anyways, they say allow the heart to rejuvenate properly with good night's rest. See, I get a good rest. I just don't, you know, I may not get to bed to 4:35 in the morning sometimes because I'm working. But, you know, I get my 8 hours at least, right? So I don't know if that puts me at a higher risk. But anyways, that's what they're saying. Folks, we've got coming up next, Lauren Day, the author of America's War on God. And I have the book right here. Hear it? Yep, I've got it in my hand. America's War on God. And we're going to talk about that book tonight. So I hope you'll stick with us. And I hope more of you will join us. And I hope that you'll interact with us as we move forward with Lauren Day, who is an investigative journalist, has been following America's moral decline for over 35 years. He says his writing encompasses both political and Christian commentary. Mr. Day is also a screenwriter with several projects in various stages of development. And, of course, again, the author of America's War on God. And we'll bring him aboard with us after this break. This is Late Night in the Midlands. I'm Michael Vera, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Jose Collazo has released two books titled America's New Slavery and God Does Exist, answering some critical questions like, is there proof of God's existence hidden in our government's records? Can we read a person's thoughts? Can we stop terrorist acts? Well, author Jose Collazo says yes, and he's put together 15 years of research that supports his claims. Get a copy of his books, America's New Slavery, or God Does Exist. They're available right now on Amazon.com, or just click one of the many banners on the LNM website.
The LNM Radio Network offers a chat room for you, the listener, to connect with others who are interested in the topics and guests that the LNM Radio Network brings to you. During the live shows, the hosts will even visit the chat room and chat with you, the listener. Click on the big red Chat and Listen button at the top of the website and join us. No subscription is needed at either LNMRadioNetwork.com or LateNightInTheMidlands.com.
Hello, this is Dick Farrell, here to tell you about OxySilver. legally available only through CureShop.com and HealthyWorldStore.com. Don't be fooled buying silver products from copycats and criminals. So help save lives, putting drug lords and criminals out of business, and keep the LNM Network broadcasting. Register for our free cooperative at HealthWorldAffiliates.com/4948. That's HealthyWorldAffiliates.com/4948. And buy Oxy Silver and other great products in package specials at great discounts from TheCureShop.com. Buy Oxy Silver, GI Flora Pro, Green Harvest, Zeolove, and Love Minerals at great discounts at CureShop.com. That's CureShop.com with two P's. CureShop.com. Or call toll-free at 1-888-621-7611. That's 1-888-621-7611. Do it now.
Attention, L&M Radio Network listeners. Did you know that when you're on the road with limited data or Wi-Fi available, you can still listen to every minute of the L&M Radio Network by calling 605-562-4203? No smartphone app or internet needed. Saves your data plan and no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Call 605-562-4203 to listen to the LNM Radio Network on any phone, anytime, anywhere. Eric Von Daniken is back in London for the first time in 25 years to celebrate Chariots of the Gods' 50th anniversary. The event will be live streamed from the historic Princess Anne Theater. Eric Von Daniken's Legacy Night promises a unique insight into the life and work of one of the most successful nonfiction authors in the world. Tickets are roughly $22 per viewer. Sign up for the live stream at ZoharStargate.com. That's ZoharStargate.com and use the promo code EVDLON 2016. That's promo code EVDLON 2016 at ZoharStargate.com for your 10% discount.
This is Thomas Fry, your biblical survivalist, and you are listening to Michael Vera's Late Night in the Midlands.
Hey, they call Trump a bad guy too. I don't think that's bad. So
yeah, there's your real evil threat. Him and Cruz.
And just out of curiosity, but who do you vote for? Can I ask?
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders. All right. Is Lucifer is God? I love it. No, this is good. This is really good.
Because it looks like he's just living an extravagant lifestyle to me.
Okay, then why the Rolex watches? I mean,
they're good.
I would think that.
I mean,
you know what? I think that the Rolex watch falls short in comparison to the fact that there's millions of us that have given our entire lives.
I'm just saying that the caller does raise a good point. Why would God need a Rolex watch? I mean, that's a legitimate question.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger. I'm the author of Cancer Step Outside the Box, and I'm the producer of The Truth About Cancer, The Quest for the Cures, and A Global Quest. And you are listening to Late Night in the Midlands.
You're listening to the LNM Radio Network, talk radio like no other, bringing the truth back to talk radio.
Become a late nighter without the late nights, and subscribe now to help Late Night in the Midlands bring you the best guests with the best information.
LNM is listened to by men, women, and we take three breaks a show, so you can use the bathroom if you feel the need. However, we have received notice that people will need longer breaks. Why, you ask? Well, it would seem some are confused about what bathroom they should use, and as a result, they are returning to listen to L&M several minutes late from each break. So to curb this problem, we here at L&M have tried to simplify this for you. If you're a man, use the men's room. If you're a woman, use the woman's room. If you're unsure, see a doctor. And if you're a pervert who goes in the wrong bathroom, may God protect you and keep you safe from any bathroom my little ones use. Late Night in the Midlands, battling Obama's insane takeover since we begun, and using the men's room since 1971, when a dude was a dude.
On the east coast of the United States, from the capital city, Columbia, South Carolina, you're listening to Late Night in the Midlands with your host, Michael Vera. To talk to Michael Vera, dial 803-392-4566 or around the world on Skype. Just use Skype ID LNM Radio.
All right, we are back, and this is Late Night in the Midlands, and I am Michael Vera. Folks, all I want is the truth. That's all I want. I'm not here to cater to anybody's belief system. I'm not here to cater to the way, you know, anybody's views. I'm here to listen to it all and try to come up with my own reasonable, sensible determination of what it all means. And I don't know as though I can do that. I don't know as though anybody can do that, but certainly we try. And I have absolutely no debate or argument when it comes to there's a God. I don't at all. And I have no argument that America has had a war on God. At least those who are running the country have certainly had their own little war on God, at least the Christian God. That's for sure. And I don't deny any of that. So we're going to talk tonight with my guest, Lauren Day, about his book, America's War on God. And pretty much I want to see where he's coming from. And of course, you know, I'll probably challenge a few things here or there. But in a respectful way, because basically I want to have the same faith that many of you have. I would love to have the faith that some people have, but I don't want it to be blind faith. I don't even really want it to be faith in theory. I want it to be having faith in facts that I find. And so I ask questions hoping somebody will give me an answer that will take me down another road, that will maybe change my mind on some things. I mean, I'm always open to changing my mind. I mean, there was a time when I hated Donald Trump. I don't hate him no more. I mean, see, I can change. We all can change. Everybody changes. You know, based on the evidence that comes forward all the time, you change your mind on things. You know, I do anyways. And there's people who I thought were no good. Turned out they were pretty good. Then there's people who I knew were no good and damn well they weren't. So, you know, but hey, you don't know unless you go down the avenues. Anyways, tonight, it's not about too much of that. It's really about Lauren Day, his book, why he wrote it, and, you know, getting his explanation of it all. You know, 35 years, he says he's watched America fall into decline. And again, there's another statement that I can't argue with. You know, it has fallen into decline. But is it because people have turned their back on God? Is that really the reason this is happening? It could be, right? I guess it could be. I don't know as though it is, but it could be. So anyways, that's where we're going tonight. And again, folks, call in as we get moving here. Give us a few minutes, but call in. Give your opinions. We'd love to hear what you think, even if you disagree. I mean, I don't think there's any real right or wrong answers here when it comes down to it, because nobody really knows. Now, there are some things I think we could and should question, just because when you bring common sense into some of it, or you bring modern-day technology into some of it, I don't know, it kind of looks a little different to me than what they've been selling us. But anyhow, let's go ahead and bring him on. He is Lauren Day, the author of America's War on God, an investigative journalist who's watched the decline of America for 35 years. It's unfortunate, folks, but it's true. All right, so let's go ahead and bring Lauren on.
Hello, this is Lauren.
Hey, good evening, Lauren. This is Michael Vera with Late Night in the Midlands. How are you?
I'm good, Michael. How are you this evening?
I am doing just fine, and it's great to have you here tonight. And I do want to apologize for all the mix. I mean, we had a rough week the other week, and you were one of the victims of it, and I apologize.
no problem at all, really.
Well, hey, welcome aboard, and I do thank you for spending time with us tonight, and I'm looking forward to getting into some conversation here, and so I guess let's start out with a little bit of background, and what led you right up to writing the book, America's War on God?
Well, I've been a Christian for about 36 years, and I've been following politics and just the state of the country during most of that time. And, you know, I kind of got tired over the years of hearing everyone talk about all the problems of America without ever addressing the root cause or the disease, I think, in a way. And so I decided that I was going to present in a single volume the problems that America has and what they're attributed to, which I believe is the abandonment of the Judeo-Christian God in the Bible, and to then give reasons for belief and faith in those things in the Bible and in Christianity and in Jesus Christ in particular. So I wanted to write a book that would be easy to understand, and I kind of targeted it to towards 20-somethings, people that are in college, because they're being fed so much stuff in the colleges today, and they never hear the other side. So I kind of made them my target audience and just told said in that book things that I thought that they ought to know about, and when as it relates to the Bible and Jesus Christ and Christianity in particular.
Fantastic. All right. So in college, that's a good place to start if you're trying to fix things in this country, because these college kids, they have been steered down the wrong road, no doubt about that. So America's in big trouble, and you attribute much of it to things that are contrary to God's word and basically the Bible. And I thought maybe you can expand just a little bit on that as to maybe some of the things that have gone wrong and where they've gone wrong and how you attribute it to turning people their back on God.
Well, I think one of the things that pops into my head that's coming from the government now and a form of socialism is being pushed upon Americans, where the government is seeking to provide for everyone's needs. And this actually went on during the War for Independence in the 1700s in this country, where the King of England was trying to usurp God by putting his will on the people, and they rebelled against that because they saw that as a usurpation of trying to get rid of God and take the place of God. And the same thing is happening today in America, where socialistic ideas are being foisted upon the people to get people to depend on the government rather than to depend on God, which Americans have always done. So that's one instance right there that's coming from the government. One of the reasons I wrote the book, too, is because most people really don't understand the Bible. They don't understand the God of the Bible. And because of that, they don't understand how important his commandments are in the Bible. They are designed to show people how they can live prosperously and be, you know, healthy and relatively war-free from other nations and things like that. But today people misunderstand it. They think that God is, his commandments are designed to keep good things away from good people. And nothing can be further from the truth. So the other reason I wrote the book was that so people would have a better understanding of what God wants us to do and what God doesn't want us to do. Because we are doing an awful lot of things in this country, not just from the government, but by many of the people that is offending God. I mean, the easy target, I guess, for me would be, you know, the acceptance of homosexuality and other types of lifestyles like that. But the truth is, you know, adultery and fornication are also things that aren't even considered wrong anymore. At one time that they were, but now they really aren't. And they're just, you know, really accepted by society. So there's a couple of things there just for starters.
Yeah, and I appreciate you being honest and open. And I'll tell you, on this show, I mean, you know, nobody's here to attack or anything like that. I mean, you're welcome to give your opinions as much as you like. And you know, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people who share your opinion. And that's what's great about living in America, is that we can have different opinions and we can see things differently. But, you know, I have a problem when these things get pushed down our throat. And yeah. Really, honestly, you get more praise for being homosexual nowadays in this country than you would if you were straight. I mean, they're not throwing me parades. But, you know, with that being said, I have no problem with somebody who, if you want to be homosexual, or it's not that they want to be, but if you're homosexual, and that's just, and some of them do want to be. I mean, you got the whole transgender thing that's going on now. I disagree with that, where they're letting them, Obama says, let them go into the bathrooms. So I can see where, you know, I think, you know, some might say this is going against God. And others might say, you know, we just know right from wrong, and this is wrong, this whole bathroom thing. But now, I guess there's a fine line when it comes to, people ask me, do you care if gay people get married? And personally, I don't, but I don't need you to make it my business either. I mean, you know what I mean? So I see where you're coming from. I mean, and you're entitled to your beliefs and such. Yeah.
Well, that's what my book kind of seeks to do is to make it look, or to demonstrate that it's not just my opinion and my ideas, that these ideas come from something that's far more reliable than anyone's particular notions or ideas, because the Bible has many proofs that it has, or evidences that it is of divine origins. I personally don't have any problem with anybody's lifestyle. I don't have anything against them, but my book is kind of designed as a warning that if you do these types of things, and again, it's not, I don't want to pick on people that have chosen the homosexual lifestyle, but if you choose any lifestyle that is contrary to God's word, my book is designed to warn you and say, you know, there's strong evidence to show that you should take the Bible seriously, and the Bible says don't do this or that, and it's really designed to be a warning, not a condemnation, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay. And now there are some who would say, and I've talked to folks who openly are homosexual, and what they've always told me is that, you know, even growing up, I've had many tell me that, well, I didn't choose this. It's just how I am. And if that is true, and if they, and science is even saying that they've now found the gene for homosexuality, which is what they say anyways. So if that would be true, then they wouldn't some people argue, well, God made me this way, so why would God not like it?
Well, I would disagree with that assertion. I don't think that there is any scientific evidence to show that anyone has a propensity towards homosexuality. In fact, a very popular and good biblical scholar in the 20th century particularly thought that homosexuality, as well as a lot of other things, not just homosexuality, really had spiritual and demonic origins, not physiological origins. And I tend to agree with that, because I don't see any scientific evidence for it. I know there's a lot of evidence to show that a lot of homosexuals have been abused as children, and I guess that has led to a lot of them to have a propensity towards the same sex. I'm certainly not an expert on it, but I have done some research, and I have not found any clinical evidence for it, any reliable clinical evidence that has been able to be duplicated.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
That's my opinion.
Hey, and that's what I got you here for, is for your opinions. Yeah. I didn't bring you here to argue with you. I mean, I don't know. I'm straight. I don't know. I can't say. I can only say what people tell me, and that's not always very reliable either. So, all right. So
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, you know, we live in a society now where no one is allowed to say anything against anyone, and we're just supposed to accept everything and everyone, whatever they do. There's hardly any taboos anymore. I guess murder is still considered wrong, but in a way that has been blurred as well, because you may not agree with me, but I believe abortion is a form of murder. And that is perfectly accepted in our society. People don't think there are any absolutes. And that's, again, that's something that my book seeks to do, is to show that the Bible does contain absolutes in it.
Okay. All right. And Tony, he's listening via our chat room, and he asked, how does your guest decipher the Old Testament and the New Testament?
Decipher it. I guess I would have to know more specifically what his question is. I guess what I would say, the Old Testament contains a lot of God's commandments, that thou shalt not. And he also tells the things, to do for successful living. And it shows in the Old Testament the way for mankind to be redeemed is by keeping God's laws. The big difference with the New Testament is that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and died for everyone's sins, so that we were no longer condemned by the laws in the Old Testament. Because if people accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they will no longer be condemned by God's laws, that Jesus will have died for those things, for that individual, and that person will no longer be condemned by the laws in the Old Testament.
All right. And so if you had to describe the Bible, how would you describe it? Some will describe it as a history book. Others will describe it as actually the Word of God, and of course, some just say, "Oh, it's all religion; it's no good." But what's your thoughts? I mean, to you, what is the Bible?
To me, the Bible is God's revelation of Himself to mankind, both the Old and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we had God revealing Himself through prophets, and in the New Testament, we had God primarily revealing Himself and His nature through Jesus Christ, and then, of course, some of His apostles that also contributed to the writings in the New Testament. So to me, the Bible as a whole is God revealing Himself to mankind.
Wow. That's and I envy, I really do. I envy I have a belief in God, but I guess I don't have the faith that, say, somebody like you would have. It's why I do these shows and ask so many questions, I guess.
That's great.
But, you know, I'm open to it, and I would love, you know, I'm just waiting for somebody to, you know, slap me with it, and it doesn't slide away, you know? America's problems, it says here in some of the writings that I've seen here, says America's problem their problems have increased in direct proportion to its steady abandonment of the Judeo-Christian God, the Bible, and biblical principles. You also would go on to say again, I hope that you don't mind me challenging just a little bit.
No, not at all. That's what makes it fun.
Thank you. Because in order for me to share that faith, I really, these are the answers I'm looking for. And I've got your book here, and I got to say, I enjoy it, and I think people should read it. While I think God is really good, I mean, there's a great thing I think people should follow in those steps. I mean, not killing each other and helping each other, I think, is a really good thing. But why the Judeo-Christian God rather than, I don't know, Buddha or Islam or Wiccan? I mean, there's so many religions.